It's the second hour of A Penny for Your Thoughts with Brian Barnhart on News Talk 1400 WDWS. You can reach out to us on the phone at 217-356-9397, email talk@wdws.com, or text on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line 217-351-5357. Now, here's Brian Barnhart.
And we're back, hour number two of A Penny for Your Thoughts, this day before the consolidated election. You've heard our coverage. Had a caller right before the top of the hour. We'll have Lauren Tate join us here in a moment for our final Monday morning quarterbacking here of this Illini season, of course. We're into the final four now with the men and the women coming up. I had a caller, Zoe, right before the news was asking who is running for the Unit 4 school board. And the list I have from the newsroom here is Amy Armstrong, Elizabeth Soteropoulos, I think I've said that right, Soteropoulos, Jennifer Enoch, Lee McDonald, Chris Kleppel, Michael Fulmer, Kathy Shannon, Sergio Gonzalez, and Alicia Robinson. So Amy Armstrong, Elizabeth Soteropoulos, Jennifer Enoch, Lee McDonald, Chris Kleppel, Kathy Shannon, Michael Fulmer, Sergio Gonzalez, and Alicia Robinson for Unit 4 School Board. Hopefully that's helpful. And it kind of give you got mayor's race, city council at large, Danville mayor, Danville City Council, Savoy Village Board, Parkland College Board, Urbana School District Board. You've got the Champaign Park District Board, Rantoul Village Board, St. Joseph, Tolono, Rantoul, so forth. So anyway, that's all tomorrow. And our coverage will begin at 6 o'clock tomorrow night here on DWS. Hopefully that's helpful to you, Zoe. If not, let us know. 356-9397. Lauren Tate is here. And how are you? A lot of basketball, dude.
Well, I'm bleary-eyed.
Yeah, boy, there's a lot of great games, wasn't there?
A lot of great games. Between baseball, basketball, football. I mean, I had football practice. I went to the tennis match. I mean, watching golf. I mean, I don't know what I'm doing.
Your head is spinning. And I can't remember a string of, talking about the NCAA tournament, a string of games that were so dramatic.
I know.
One after just, the other after the other.
Just hinge on one play, one after another. It's just amazing. I'm struck by the fact that the freshmen didn't get in. Kentucky had four starting freshmen. Duke had four. You know, a year or two now, they'll be better than all the guys that beat them.
I know.
But the juniors and seniors are more dominant. And by the way, Texas Tech's got three sophomores out of the first six. Three sophomores and three seniors. So, you know, it's kind of a mix this year, and it's different.
It's a different Final Four.
It really is. Really is. I mean, nobody could have – I say nobody could predict it. Somebody probably did, but I don't know who. Could you have predicted this?
I don't think so. When you look back, you think, well, that makes sense because Texas Tech was a co-champion of the Big 12. They had a really good year. Obviously, Auburn won the Southeast Conference tournament title, so they were hot coming into the tournament. Michigan State goes annually, and Virginia was the number one seed. So
sometimes you're affected by what your eyes see, and we saw Cassius Winston in Champaign make 8 turnovers of 24 that Michigan State made as Illinois defeated Michigan State, and he had 20 points, 10 assists, and 1 turnover yesterday. Why did Duke lose? They had 10 more turnovers, and they're not a three-point shooting team like some.
Mm-hmm. And when Michigan State doesn't turn it over, they're probably going to win.
Oh, man. But how do you explain losing Bridges and Jackson off last year's team, 2 draft picks? They put a couple guys in there who are just run-of-the-mill guys. Now, come on, Goins, mm-hmm. you know, and Tillman. I mean, they're really good players. I'm shocked how good they are, but did you expect that? And then, you know, here they are. I mean, the thing is that I see is you've got to get in the thing every year because you never know which year you're going to be Virginia when you lose the first game to a 16 seed or you get through. You got to get in every year. And if you do that, if you're consistently in there some year, you'll get through.
Well, my heart kind of broke for Purdue.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, they were right on. If the one kid makes the free throw, it's over.
Yeah.
The game's over.
I know.
And it took a string of events, unfortunate events for Purdue, for Virginia to win that game. But
yeah, and, you know, took a shot to tie it with no seconds on the clock. He just barely got it off. Yeah. Amazing. You know, it's so strange. You guys up there, he has to make two free throws. This is a different game, of course. He has to make two free throws for Duke. He misses the first one, so he intentionally misses the second one, and it went in.
I saw
you
that.
You know, I mean, how do you predict this?
And
thing?
If that would have happened to Virginia, Purdue would have been in the Final Four. If that ball doesn't hit the front of the rim and go back to midcourt.
Yeah.
I always think of you in those times when should they foul or should they not foul?
I know.
And Painter went against what most people do, and he fouled.
I'm seeing more and more that you don't always get the rebound. Earlier this season, Purdue had a game. They fouled intentionally. I don't remember who they were playing, but I do remember what happened. The guy made the first free throw. He intentionally missed the second free throw, and Harms lost the ball out of bounds, which gave the other team the ball underneath the basket, and they threw it into the corner, and the guy had a wide-open shot and missed it. I'm thinking, oh, brother. So maybe I'm – have I been wrong all these years thinking you should foul?
Of course not. You're always right.
No,
right?
I don't think so. I think it's debatable, but I think the percentages would be, if you did it 100 times, I think that fouling would prevail. What do you think?
No, I think you're right. I think it just he got caught in the whatever percent it is, 2 or 3% that it just backfired.
Yeah.
At the worst possible time.
Yeah.
So, but I thought Matt Painter handled himself really well in the post game, and he was very gracious. He was very good about it. And unfortunately, Bruce Pearl is in the Final Four, and that's that's just hard for me to take.
Well. But, I don't know what to say other than he served his time. He's like anybody that goes to prison. He got the show cause resolution, and he sat out a couple of years. He was with ESPN, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, did some TV work.
Yeah, and then he comes back, and what can I say? I mean, he must be a good coach because the players have responded to him, and, of course, he loses maybe his best player, and they come back and play even better. So you got to give him credit, but I don't know anybody that I disrespect any more than him in basketball.
Yeah.
I think he'd be number one on my list.
And I think it's a little more personal for
a lot of people around here. But just think what he did in the Kraft situation, you know, when the Kraft who ultimately went to Ohio State. He was charged with an improper contact with Kraft when Kraft was a high school senior. Mm-hmm. And he denied it to the NCAA, and then they come up with a picture from his backyard barbecue with Kraft there with him, and you know, which means he openly lied about it, and of course he lost his job, and he was out of basketball for I don't know how long was he out, 2 years?
I can't remember. I it was 2 or 3 at least.
I don't know what it was, but here he is back here, and boy, are they playing! And this is a different Final Four because we don't have any – the freshmen just aren't in it. There are only two freshmen left, I think. When I say two freshmen, I mean two starters.
Yeah, two regular contributors.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, it's be interesting. Two teams that have never been in, Auburn and Texas Tech, a team that was not been in since 1984 in Virginia, and then Michigan State, who has been in regularly. I think this is the 8th Final Four for Tom Izzo, which is astonishing when you think about it this day and age. But they haven't won it since 2000.
He 1-11 against Duke going into that game?
Something like that.
He doubled his victories from 1-2.
It's amazing. And Illinois beat that team.
Yeah.
All right. We'll take a break. Back with Lauren Tate. Monday morning quarterbacking, our last edition until the fall. So if you'd like to get in with Lauren here on a Monday, you can certainly do it next. All right. Brian Barnhart here. We're with Lauren Tate, our final Monday morning quarterbacking show of this Illini football and basketball season, of course. The Final Four is set for the men. We'll get into that here in just a little bit more. Our family serving yours, a new slogan in 2019 for Woods Basement Systems. They've been around since 1986. It's helping over 58,000 homeowners solve wet basement, dirty, moldy crawl spaces, and foundation problems. It's a family-owned and operated business. Big thing is they've won several awards from the Better Business Bureau Torch Award for Marketplace Ethics 5 times. Woods also the highest-rated, most-reviewed basement and crawl space contractor, so you can trust them with your home improvement needs. If you have a wet basement, leaky basement, wall cracks, bowing in, don't stick your head in the sand and ignore it. It is not going to heal itself. So get some help on this. Get a free estimate. And what's it going to cost you to not make those home improvements? 888-935-4333. 888-935-4333. Or you can go online to woodsbasementsystems.com. And again, contact them. Award-winning place, Better Business Bureau Torch Award, 5 times for Marketplace Ethics. So they'll do a good job for you. 356-9397 is our number. You can text us, Castle Heating and Cooling text line. Benny writes in, good morning. Welcome back. No teams of mine are in the Final Four. No Duke, North Carolina, Tennessee, Kansas, Kentucky, Minnesota, Ohio State, Louisville, all gone. My roommates witnessed me tearing up my brackets. So appreciate that, Benny. Now we know who all his teams are. Ken, good morning. How are you?
Yeah, when I watch the tournament, I just have to wonder, why would any team not cheat? Bruce Pearl's cheated at every school he's ever been at. It's just a matter of time before he gets caught at Auburn. North Carolina has kindergarten classes they give college credit for, and they went deep into the tournament. Why not cheat?
Well, a lot of people agree with you because a lot of people have cheated. I mean, the history of Kentucky is pretty obvious. I mean, going back a long way, and you mentioned that Pearl hasn't been caught cheating at Auburn, but two of his assistants have, one of his assistants was arrested by the FBI, and so, but he didn't know anything about that, of course, and so he's
an idiot.
And there's all kinds of, let's not go into that, but because it spoils the tournament to start thinking about how they got there. But
I love that Michigan State game yesterday, though.
Well, it was a dandy. It was impossible.
It was a good game all the way through.
It's amazing how we think that, and I thought that Duke would win all the way through, but then you consider they're not a good 3-point shooting team. They make too many turnovers. They do a lot of things that green players do, and they've had some injuries, Reddish, and they've had some problems that way. And of course, Williamson was out for a while. There's never been if they had won the national championship, they would have had the worst 3-point percentage of any team that ever won.
That's saying something.
Yeah. They're not a great.
Well, thanks.
Go ahead.
Thanks.
Oh, okay. Thank you, Ken. I appreciate it. Thought you had some more there. 356-9397. I'll say this to Ken and others, and Lauren, you've been to these games. When you're in the NCAA tournament, talk about young players and the pressure. To me, the pressure exponentially increases every round.
Mm-hmm.
And when those games are close, and the intensity of the crowd, it's almost as you get from the first and second round of the Sweet 16 to the Elite Eight, the pressure is just enormous. It's palatable in the arena. I mean, somebody told me the percentage of Purdue fans down in Louisville was like 80% crowd against Virginia. I mean, and the intensity of the crowd and the intensity of what goes on is just amazing. You almost you have to experience it to understand it. But
some guys can't handle those late free throws. I noticed that. That's really pressure. That's on top of everything else. I still go back to the New Mexico State game against Auburn. Guy walks up there with 3 free throws to win the game.
Win the game.
Or lose the game. He missed 2 out of 3.
And how about Carson Edwards?
Oh, well, he went.
Have you seen anything like that?
No, I've seen him take those same shots and miss them all year long. He's not that good a shooter, but he's 10 out of 19 in the game from the 3. 14 out of 32. I mean, he was shooting the ball. I saw games where Purdue was disadvantaged because of the shots he was taking. You saw that.
Mm-hmm.
When you go 4 for 17 or 6 for 30, or he was just firing it at will. But in this game, he's making everything. Those last 4 threes, I thought he was going to shoot from midcourt, didn't you?
He reminded me of Stephen Curry, and that was the record he broke, was Curry's number of threes in a 4-game stretch or whatever it was. I mean, it was ridiculous. And I don't know how Virginia was finally starting to send 2 guys at him near the end.
Yeah.
But Tony Bennett said when he banked in the one shot, he goes, I just ripped up my defensive playbook. I don't know what to do.
You can't.
He was throwing them in from everywhere.
I know. That was a real lucky one, but he was so far off, he made it.
All right, a quick break. Let's take a minute or two break here, Adam, and then we'll come back with Michael Kaiser in the news. Lauren Tate, Monday Morning Quarterback, our final edition for this spring. Back in a moment. Hey, grab your kids, lace up your sneakers, and hit the course at the 11th annual Busey Illinois Youth Run. The Youth Run encourages children to get involved, making the Illinois Marathon an event for the entire family. Busey, proud to sponsor the Youth Run, brought to you by the Christie Clinic Illinois Marathon. Mark your calendars, Saturday, April 27th at 3 o'clock. The race is run entirely within Memorial Stadium in Champaign and finishes at the 50-yard line. Children 10 and under encouraged to participate. Separate races according to age. There's even a heat for siblings of all ages. The course is little more than a half mile. For only $15, make sure you don't miss out on the family fun event. You can register online, illinoismarathon.com, through April 21st by mail, or in person at the Health and Fitness Expo, April 25 and 26, or the day of the Youth Run, April 27. Register today. To learn more about the Busey Illinois Youth Run and the Christie Clinic Illinois Marathon, visit illinoismarathon.com or busey.com. A lot of talk, of course, with Lauren Tate here on our final Monday morning quarterbacking until next fall. Talking about the Final Four. The women's Final Four, half filled. UConn is there again. Oregon is there. The Iowa women play Baylor tonight and Stanford against Notre Dame for the women's Final Four. Cardinals lost 3 out of 4 to start the year in Milwaukee. They'll be at Pittsburgh today. Cubs lost 2 out of 3 in Texas. They'll be at Atlanta. The Sox lost 2 out of 3. They'll be at Cleveland. And here's a winning streak for you, Lauren. Men's tennis, you talked about them. They've defeated Iowa now 25 straight times.
I think that the Iowa needs to fire their coach.
25 in a row.
Yeah, well, Illinois had really good tennis teams for a long time now, going back to Tiley and through that era, and now Dancer. And I don't think Iowa's ever been a contender during that time. Illinois has been awful lot of second places, I know that.
And what happened to baseball over the weekend?
Well, what happened to baseball is that, first of all, they didn't hit. But they're trailing 3-1 in the eighth inning, and they had some problems. That the previous day, they hit into 3 double plays in the first 4 innings, and just one thing led to another. And finally, they hit into another double play in the eighth inning when one of the batters lined out to shortstop, and he tried to get the guy off second, and he slid back in safe. And the next guy lined out to the same shortstop, and they got the double play. I mean, you know, you're just jinxed.
Right.
But yesterday, it's the bases loaded and one out in the eighth inning. Fly ball to right field. Guy on second tags up to go to third. Guy on third doesn't tag up to go to home.
Uh-oh.
Double play.
Double play. Wow, that's too bad.
You got to, if you're on second, you got to make, you're 2 runs behind, so they're playing it safe, you know, because 1 run doesn't mean that much. You got to have 2 runs. But the guy on second thinking, I'm the second run, I got to get to third base. And you know what happened? He ran Troike off the base, and that's double play.
Speaking of college baseball, I was out in Phoenix for a few days and went to an Arizona State game.
Okay.
At Phoenix Municipal Stadium, which is where the Sun Devils play.
That's high level,
isn't it? 9,000 people there.
9,000.
To watch those two teams go at it. And Arizona State, I think, is now 24-1 or something like that. I mean, they're ranked in the top 10. But and the guy that's the manager was the coach who used to be at Indiana. Tracy Smith is out there as the head coach. But it's serious business out there.
It really is.
Not that we don't take it seriously, but I'm just
and
talking about
the same thing in a lot of the southern schools, too.
Yeah, it's.
I mean, where do you have the weather? Where do you have weather, you get more fans? I mean, I can see the fans that turned out for the Illini games last week, you can just see there's an eagerness there. But it's the conditions are not fit to really come out and sit there for long.
We were going, my wife and I were looking at the teams in the top 25, and this is what Dan Hartlib faces every year in any Big Ten school. I mean, you look at the top 25, 22 of them are from the South or from the West. I mean,
and Illinois won't be number 25 this week.
After what happened against Iowa.
0-3 at Iowa.
All right, while the actual games have been entertaining, talking about the basketball, there's a real ugliness about several of the teams and their coaches. For instance, the Auburn coach, talking about Bruce Pearl, lost a job. Was outside of college basketball for a number of years because he not only broke the rules, but he lied about it. The Kentucky coach, when he was at two other schools, took them to the Final Four, had the records for those teams while he was there wiped out because he had violated the rules. I think it's UMass and Memphis, was it?
Yeah.
I think. LSU coach was fired because players were paid. The story isn't complete yet. The Kansas coach, Bill Self, whined all year because a player he got to use for a bit of the prior year was banned from play this year because someone got paid $100,000 to get him to go to Kansas. The North Carolina coach populated his team for many years with players who took bogus courses while in school. All these guys are recognized as great coaches. That's like saying Bill Clinton was a great president regardless of how he took advantage of several women. Hypocrisy reigns. That's from Robert. Also a comment on text line about Bruce Pearl. He's representative of everything wrong with college basketball. That's from Roger. And is Carson Edwards' three-point shooting luck? Or as Jack Nicklaus once said, the more I practice, the luckier I get.
Well, he had one game. And he had more than one game in the tournament. But if you take him for the season, he's way under 40%.
From three.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Way under. His overall shooting percentage was not good by today's standards.
And just to think, Rick Mount used to shoot those shots and only got 2 points for him.
That's right. That's right. And he made a lot of them.
Yeah. Well, that's amazing. Rick Mount, still, my dad says that's one of the most amazing shooters he's ever seen. In person,
yeah,
which is just unbelievable.
Illinois went 0-for-9 against him.
Was it against
0-for-9?
Is that against Cardinal or against or both?
No, well, both.
Both.
But
yeah.
Harv Schmidt had a mat that where the players walked into the locker room, and it had something about Purdue. I've forgotten now exactly what it was, but they lost every game to Purdue while he was here. Hmm. All 4 years that we played Purdue, of course. Mm-hmm. Mount came to Purdue the same year I came to Champaign, so I covered all those games. And I also covered the last game he played in high school.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he got beat by – he won the afternoon game at Lafayette and West Lafayette. They won the afternoon game, and he got a cramp in the night game against East Chicago, Washington. This is 1966. In the state tournament, and so he didn't get to the Final Four of the state. East Chicago, Washington beat him that night and went on and won the state. And then, of course, he came to Purdue as a freshman the next year, and I said that I covered him all 4 years, which is inaccurate because he was ineligible the first year as freshman in those days. But the next 3 years, and as you pointed out, it might not be 9-0. It was the number... That's the number that stuck in my head because of a different
Brian Cardinal,
different era.
Yeah.
But they won every game, and we lost about I'd say we lost about nine straight to them, counting previous games that Harry Combs played against Purdue. And so we've had some really bad streaks against Purdue in my time.
All right, 3569397. A texter says, "Please explain how the Final Four teams made it without using the weave." That's a tech.
They just come down. Some of them just come down and shoot. They don't even bother. But
that's
did you know?
That's what Purdue was doing.
I don't know how you evaluate this because I think we can debate what a fast break is. Sometimes you just get down in a hurry and shoot. But Duke did not have a single fast break basket against Michigan State. Zero. Hmm. Explain that.
Yeah, especially with the guys they have.
If you're playing them, you just got to get back on defense and kind of forget about the offensive rebounding to a certain extent.
And as you pointed out, all four of these Final Four teams are good defensively.
I think so.
Texas Tech,
you're right.
Led the country.
Right. And yes, all four of them are very good defensively, and all four are very mature.
Older teams.
Yeah. I mentioned to you before, I looked this up this morning, Texas Tech has got three seniors and three sophomores in their starting six, their front six. Auburn doesn't have a sophomore or a freshman in their top eight.
Hmm.
All juniors and seniors. And Virginia does have one freshman. Clark is a starter. But they've got redshirt sophomores and redshirt. By the way, redshirt. Four of the top seven players. Make that four of the top eight players for Virginia have been redshirted. That means they sat out a year. Now, you
imagine
tell me,
that.
How do you get a good player to sit out a year? That doesn't happen.
Wisconsin does it all the time.
Yeah, that's true.
That's true. All right, a quick break. We've got Alan, Eric, and Jay. I'll get to all of you right after this. I've got to get this break in a couple minutes here. Back in a moment.
The hardest working people in America deserve the hardest working products. Blaine's Farm and Fleet has the hardworking ag parts and supplies you need to keep your job moving along. Receive a $100 Blaine's Farm and Fleet gift card with the purchase of a 4-foot by 8-foot rotary tiller from King Cutter, priced at $1,529.99. Stock up on 6-foot light-duty U-posts from Maisel. They're $339. Reduce waste and cut down on debris and feed with a Little Giant hanging feeder with Pam, just $12.99. Save $30 on a Pacer 550 OHV transfer pump, on sale $239.99. And take $2 off 7-foot drive stakes from Mississippi Valley, now $4.99. Press for time? Use our drive-thru service and leave the heavy lifting to us. Just drive up, place your order, and we'll have you loaded up and on your way in no time. Also at Blaine's Farm and Fleet this week, check out this great doorbuster deal. 20-pound bags of Estate Crabgrass Preventer plus lawn fertilizer, just $12.99. That's genuine value from Blaine's Farm and Fleet.
Do you have an old roof, wind damage, leaks, missing shingles, or any concerns about your roof? Maybe your roof is 10 years old and you need some minor repairs. Or maybe you need some peace of mind that your roof will last the next 10 to 20 years. Bash Pepper Roofing is here to help. Hi, I'm Cord Schroeder, owner of Bash Pepper Roofing. When you call for a free, no-obligation estimate, you can expect honest, friendly, and reliable service at the best price for all your roofing needs. Large or small, we cover it all at Bash Pepper Roofing. 352-2200 or online at bashpepper.com.
Did you know that when you're moving from your current home to an assisted living community, Hutchcraft Van Service has a small truck just for those few items and can help make that move less stressful for everyone? Did you know that when you're moving from city to city or state to state, Hutchcraft Van Service has a truck large enough to hold all of your household goods along with your car? Did you also know that when you're placing your home on the market and need to declutter or painting your home and having new carpet laid, Hutchcraft can come in and move and store those items for you? Well, now you know. Hutchcraft Van Service for all your full service moving needs.
Hutchcraft Van Service.
Your best
home. I'm Jan Miller of Hickory Point Bank. We're a locally owned and operated bank, but what exactly does that mean to you? Well, Champaign-Urbana has different needs than Chicago, and it certainly has different needs in Wall Street. Being locally owned simply means that every decision we make is based on a thorough understanding of what makes our corner of the world unique. Those decisions are going to be good for our customers, our communities, and all of our futures.
Hickory Point Bank, invested, member FDIC.
Research shows that turnover on a Board of Education negatively impacts student achievement. Unit 4 Students and Families deserve stability and strong public schools that serve all students. Amy Armstrong, Chris Kleppel, and Kathy Shannon have already worked hard for Unit 4 families and are prepared to finish what they started. They will finish the school construction project with integrity, complete a new strategic plan, and put equity and excellence first. We ask for your votes for Amy, Chris, and Kathy on April 2nd. Help us stay the course as we build a brighter future for Unit 4 families.
Paid for by friends of Kathy Shannon.
Join us for the next Bohannon Show. We'll look at resistance among some college professors to teaching about the Constitution, the Federalist Papers, and the Declaration of Independence.
Tonight at 9 on DWS.
Penny, for your thoughts, one programming note tonight, the Monday night sports talk show at the Esquire. Steve Kelly, of course, with all our News Gazette beat writers, Scott Ritchie and Matt Daniels and Bob Osmussen. Georgi Vishanishvili is going to be there. Is 1 hour enough time? Do we need?
Probably not.
5 to 6. So if you want to say hi to, and Georgie will get pictures with you, he'll do everything, probably.
Yep. Oh, I'm calling for a dance off between Kelly and Georgie.
I know who's going to win.
You bet.
It's Georgie against the field in that one. So if you want to see Georgie B and meet him, he's as gregarious a guy as you're going to meet. He'll be at the Esquire tonight, 5 to 6. You can check that out. All right, let's get to the phones here. We got three callers waiting. Alan, good morning.
Morning, guys. First of all, Brian, that first hour, the Cardinal announcer was Mike Claiborne.
Was it Claiborne? Okay.
And, yeah, it was, because he was there all weekend. Ricky Horton was gone. And I have to admit, Horton is better than he is. But that's neither here nor there.
Mm-hmm.
You guys were talking about Rick Mount. I vaguely remember him. I was a small child when he played, and he was a heck of a player. They had Rick Mount, and Indiana had George McGinnis, and everybody else was just way behind him at that time, in my opinion.
Yeah, well, he was amazing. I think all those shots only counted for two.
Yeah, I wonder how many three-pointers he would have had.
Yeah, I don't know.
Why is the season, basketball season, later this year? Because usually always the baseball season starts today and the championship game is today. Now baseball has moved their schedule up and basketball season to be a week later.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know why. Easter is really late this year, so I don't know what, if it's a calendar or what it is.
Well, I guess everything's late this year.
Yeah.
Hopefully, by this time you guys get back on the air, something good will happen in Illini football and basketball. I hope so.
Yep, me too. Thanks, Alan.
Yeah.
Appreciate it. You've been to spring practice?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Anything noteworthy?
The most noteworthy thing is the negative, and, of course, you don't want to hear that, but the passing game's got a long way to go.
Is that right?
Both the quarterback and the receivers, the Illini have got to do some things there, and they've got to add some players, which they're in the process of doing over the summer. And because the running game's going to be pretty solid, and it looks good to me, they're not fully into it, but the line is all set, and the tight ends they got a couple good tight ends. I think they're going to be okay as far as running. They just got to develop, because otherwise people are going to load up on your running game, and your running game won't be effective if you don't pass some.
Got to have some breakaway guys.
Yeah, and they do. They have some breakaways. They just got to make sure that they don't have great speed at the receiving positions.
Trying to get an upgrade on that. Jay, good morning.
Good morning. I had a question or comment about the Rick Mount scoring and the two-point line or two-point shots versus the three-point line. And when I was coaching basketball at Rantoul back in the mid-'80s, I remember putting the line on the floor the first experimental year just with floor tape, and that's what we used for all the Big 12 varsity games that year. But my question is this: why doesn't an organization like the IHSA have an asterisk by scoring records now? Because Jay Scheidler, Brent Browning, some of the great scorers from the past, never had the advantage of the three-point line. And I don't know if it's fair to say, oh, well, this kid's a great scorer today, but you know, when you get to count three instead of two for those baskets, are we comparing apples to apples here?
Well, your point's really good, and of course that's the same argument that the people got into when Ruth's record was broken, when they went from 154 games to 106, or was it 156? Anyway,
yeah,
they
154 to 162. Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, yes, they put an asterisk by that, but I guess things change over time where you can't compare old records with things that are going on now anyway. They're just so different. I mean, look at the rebounding percentages that Lucas and the centers of that era had. How can you get average 15, 16, 17 rebounds a game? How do you do that?
Took a lot more shots.
That's right. It was a different game. And so you base your rebounds on the number of shots, because, I mean, it's not a fair comparison to the number of shots that are taken today. Harry Combs, you know, I saw a game when I was looking up Andy Phillips and stuff the other day. I looked at the 1947 team and 1948, 49. There were some of those teams they shot way over 100 times, way over 100. And they missed a lot because they weren't near as good as shooters as they are today. But shooting percentage was down. So what does that mean for rebounds? There's a lot more available, but
yeah, different times, different game. All right, Swanson Roofing, the roofing dog, a family-owned business, owned and operated by Corey Swanson and his wife Melissa. They are really emphasizing the quality workmanship. A lot of folks, a lot of things are guaranteed for 50 years, but the most important decision you'll make is the quality and workmanship of who you choose to do the work on your roof. The Roofing Dog crew, comprised of roofing professionals certified in roof installation. We're into the springtime now, so real important to get your roof checked out. And even if you did not have work done before by Corey Swanson, the Roofing Dog, Swanson Roofing, they are happy to help assist in any way they can. 217-355-ROOF or visit Swanson Roofing online, theroofingdog.com. Back to wrap it up with Lauren Tate after this. All right, we're back on Penny for Your Thoughts. Final minute here with Lauren Tate. A quick question. They were wondering, a listener, is why the Purdue game, the rebound on the missed free throw was not called over and back, since it was a Virginia player who tipped it out and over the half-court line. It was
no possession.
Touched. There's no possession. Yeah, somebody's got to be in possession of it and then throw it back over the line for it to be over and back. All right, well, I guess we're done for a while, Lauren.
Well, I need to rest. They're going to get me in trouble on Mondays. I'll be playing golf wishing I was here.
appreciate all you do.
Thank you.
For us. Thank you for all your input on Mondays. We'll be back with Lauren again in the fall when we start football, which won't be that far off, but we appreciate him being with us on Mondays, mostly 2 hours, last couple of weeks for just an hour. And somebody texted in, so let me guess, Benny's teams are not in the Final Four. Yes, Benny that's told correct. Us. He tore up his brackets. He's done. All right, that's going to wrap it up for Monday Morning Quarterbacks for now. We'll have a regular show, a normal 2 hours on Monday, but tomorrow back with more. Penny for your thoughts. Jim Dye on Wednesday, Justice Steigman on Friday for 2 hours. So get ready for that coming up at the end of the week. That'll do it for today's show. I'm Brian Barnhart for Lauren Tate, WDWS, Champaign-Urbana. Have a great Monday, 11 o'clock.